Amen. Amen. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. What a good opening word, opening song for this first Sunday in Advent, the time of welcoming the light of God, welcoming the coming of God, the coming of Jesus into our midst in a new way. And so welcome every one of you to Tabernacle United Church. Welcome to this service of worship. My name is Pastor Katie. Our pronouns are she, her, hers. And I'm thankful to be here worshiping with all of you this morning, and also grateful to welcome you to this space, this virtual space where we can welcome the presence of God and welcome the communion of one another, being with each other. Even in this virtual setting, we remember that we are connected to one another, and we give thanks for that and for our ability to connect. If you are new, if you're visiting with us for the first time, we're glad you're here. Thank you for taking the step to come and visit with us, not knowing what to expect. We are glad you're here. And if you are new, we would welcome you to introduce yourself. You can do that through the chat feature. On Zoom. You can do that right now if you'd like, or anytime during the service. Let us know your name and that you're here with us. You can also email me if you'd like to connect a little bit further. You can email me at tabunitedpastor@gmail.com. I would be happy to hear from you and connect with you. So this morning, as we begin, and this is the first Sunday in Advent, there are a few announcements that I want to lift up that are of things that are coming up in the life of the church, and you are welcome to participate. We continue on a regular weekly basis, Tuesday morning prayer at 8:30 in the morning. If you would like to join us for that, if you're not on the listserv, if you'd like to join us, you are welcome to come to prayer at 8:30 on Zoom every Tuesday morning. Also, this Wednesday, we are starting our Advent study. 5:30, we will be meeting every Wednesday throughout Advent, December 2nd, 9th, and 16th. We'll have a little bit of scripture study, but we also have some readings that we're looking at in particular this season. So if you would like to be a part of that, if you haven't been a part of this group, the Bible study group, let us know and we will try to send you those readings so you can have them before we begin. Just send me a note or put your name down here and we'll try to get that stuff to you so that you can participate if you'd like. 5:30 on Wednesdays throughout Advent. Also, just want to lift up and mention that we our Christmas Eve service this year, as you can probably imagine, will not be in person. We are going to be having our Christmas Eve service on Zoom, December 24th, Christmas Eve at 6 p.m. So mark your calendars for that. It will be a special, hopefully meaningful time to connect. Even though we can't be together, we will be doing that via Zoom like we're doing now. Also, I wanted to lift up an announcement that I'm also going to follow up this week with an invitation from a friend of ours, Will O'Brien, who is hosting something called the Alternative Seminary. Every year, they do an event that is called Peace on Earth and the Politics of Christmas. And it is about liberating Christmas from cultural captivity, and really getting to the liberating message of Christmas. And so they are ho hosting that online this year, and everyone is welcome to attend. So I will send out some more information about that. It's a great thing to come to if you want to learn, dig a little bit deeper into the Christmas story, to look at the politics of it and what's going on in that Christmas story. It will be December 7th from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. And again, I will send out some follow-up information about that event, but you would be welcome to be a part of that. So now as we let us prepare our hearts as we continue in our time of worship. Let us worship God.
Good morning, beloved family. My name is Ana del Corazon. I use she, her pronouns. We come from a world of darkness,
into Christ's world of light.
We come from a world of weariness.
Into God's strength and hope. We want, when we want to give up.
Hope is seeing stars in the city.
When we forget the sky is there.
Hope is the anthem of faith.
And the reason we're here.
So come to this place with your hopes and your fears.
For the God of new life is drawing near.
Let us worship Holy God.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Pax, and my pronouns are they, them. And this morning, we'll start by singing a song that is taken from an Imagine Dragons song and given new words, Ready for Action, a song that's helping us think about how to step into action, how to do the work that we need to do to be in solidarity with communities, to support one another. Let's sing together. Waking up to the fear and pride all around me and inside. I'm shedding all that holds me back. I'm learning more, I'm stepping up and finding power in God's love. The time is now for action. I feel it in my soul. God's justice making whole. God is here in this place. Here in this place. God is here in this place. Here in this place. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm ready for action. Ready for action. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm ready for action. Ready for action. Make a vow and say a prayer to serve God's people everywhere. Lord, give me strength to stay on track. We'll tear down walls that keep us bound and free the captives all around. The time is now for action. God is here in this place, here in this place. God is here in this place, here in this place. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm ready for action, ready for action. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm ready for action, ready for action. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm ready for action, ready for action. Ready for action, ready for action. Amen. I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your peace. I will tend the poor and lame. I will set a feast for them. My hand will save. Finest bread I will provide. Till their hearts be satisfied, I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you
Amen. Thank you, Pax. Oh God, we are patiently waiting for your creative spark to ignite us and transform us. We are waiting for your healing and comfort for the lives taken by the coronavirus, for the damage done to our earth, and for the violence that has ripped through too many communities. Oh God, we wait in hope. We are waiting for your justice to sway the rich and the powerful, to care for the poor, the lonely, the orphaned, and the immigrant. But we also know that our hearts and hands must act for change. Oh God, we wait in peace. We are waiting for the whole world to tilt away from death and destruction towards play and imagination. Oh God, we wait in joy. We are waiting for love to come, remind us again that it does not require any talent to do your work. Oh God, we wait with love. Help us, oh God, to paint and dance, to sing and scribble, to use our hands to create your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, even as we wait. Amen. It is hard to think about beginning a time of waiting once again, O Holy One. We are already feeling isolated and alone, fatigued with our own stillness, impatiently waiting to be able to be busy our schedule again, so that we can go back to avoiding our brokenness and hurt. And yet you call us once again to this season of Advent to sit in silence and wait. Forgive our tendency to make this season about shopping for gifts rather than the priceless gift of grace, peace, and reconciliation you have already provided us. Help us, O Holy One, to remember that the stillness you demand reminds us of your love and hope. Focus us on your peace and joy. Help us to find these promises in our Advent stillness, not just for ourselves, but so we can share these gifts with a world in despair and darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We wait patiently for the light of the world to come once again. Light for our darkness, hope for our despair. The God who reigns from everlasting to everlasting brings us the good news once again. In Jesus Christ, we are set free. Alleluia and amen.
Joyful all you nations. shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world, we'll walk in the light, beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. Oh, shine all around us by day.
And now let us take a moment. As we receive the peace of Christ from one another, let us also share it with each other. So let us go now to gallery view and greet one another with the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with all of you.
To you all, good morning.
Good morning.
Peace.
With you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Peace, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hello.
Peace be with you, Julie. Glad you're with us.
Good morning.
Hello, Gina.
Hello.
Peace be with you.
Be with you, Anne.
Oh, peace be with you all.
Oh, here we go.
Happy Thanksgiving weekend. Pookie says hello. Right, Pookie?
Hello, everybody.
Morning, Veronica.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good
morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good
morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good
morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Oh. Peace to you, Christina. Hey.
Peace to everybody.
Hi, Lisa. Peace to you.
Hi, Geneva.
Good morning.
I see our screen. Okay.
Oh.
Hi, Priscilla.
Hi, Lee Pew.
Hello, Mike. Hello. Good to see you.
Hello. Good morning.
Lisa.
I'm just waking up.
Lisa.
Just waking up.
Hi, Lee.
Is Lisa.
Alan.
Yeah, yes.
It is?
Yeah.
Peace, Oscar.
Yeah? Oh, there we are.
Peace, Jenny.
Our first reading comes from the book of Isaiah 11, 1 through 9. I'm going to be reading from the Common English Bible. A shoot will grow up from the stump of Jesse. A branch will sprout from his roots. The Lord's Spirit will rest upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of planning and strength, a spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. He will delight in fearing the Lord. He won't judge by appearances, nor decide by hearsay. He will judge the needy with righteousness and decide with equity for those who suffer in the land. He will strike the violent with the rod of his mouth. By the breath of his lips, he will kill the wicked. Righteousness will be the belt around his hips and faithfulness the belt around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb and the leopard will lie down with the young goat. The calf and the young lion will feed together, and a little child will lead them. The cow and the bear will graze, their young will lie down together, and a lion will eat straw like an ox. A nursing child will play over the snake's hole, toddlers will reach right over the serpent's den. They won't harm or destroy anywhere on my holy mountain. The earth will surely be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, just as the water covers the sea. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
This is now the time in our service where children and the young at heart can come closer to the screen for the children's time. Let's sing together.
Come and see, I am the way and the truth, said he. Follow me, come as a child, oh come and see.
So, good morning. My name is Lucinda, and I use she and her, and this is Bessa, and she uses she and her. And I'm not sure about in your family, but long about, March 16th, we started making a list of things we would do, as Bessa says, when the virus is done. We started making that list of things that we can't wait to do again. And recently, we've been hearing exciting news that sometime next year, there will probably be a vaccine, right? And everyone's going to get one or two shots, and then we'll be able to slowly get back to our life and start doing those things when the virus is done. And the idea about a vaccine has made people very hopeful.
And very nice.
Yeah, it makes us feel excited, and it makes us feel like we can do this, right?
It is medicine.
It makes us feel like we can do this, like we can get through this time, because we know that the time is almost finished.
And it's time to shut.
Yeah.
You are the doctor.
Yeah.
You are the doctor.
Okay. And so, but it made me think that even though we're hopeful that we're going to get a vaccine, it doesn't mean we can just do whatever we want right now, right? We need to be safe, and we need to take care of people right now. Even though a vaccine is coming, we need to be safe right now. We need to wear our mask. We need to stay away from people that we might want to see. We need to wash our hands, and we need to have school on the computer. And that made me think about Advent and the prophets, the people who speak the word of God, who remind people what God's love and justice are all about. The prophets tell us about something really good that's coming, about peace and love and community that's coming. And we're really excited about that. But we also know that we can't just sit around and wait for it. We can't just live our lives the same way that we've been living, right? We have to do the things right now that the prophets remind us are important. We have to love our neighbors, and we have to work for justice. And we have to listen to the prophets, the people around us who remind us what God says, the people around us who speak the words of God. So right now, I'm just really grateful for the prophets in this church, and the prophets in our world. The people remind us the things that God has always believed and that God wants us to do. So come say a prayer with me. God, we thank you for the hope of a vaccine, and we thank you for the job we have to do your work right now, even while we wait. We have another world in view, and your prophets have come to show us the way. And so help us to listen to them. Amen.
This morning, as we begin Advent and start our period of waiting and anticipating Christmas, Let's sing O Come Emmanuel together.
Our second scripture reading comes from Paul's letter to the community in Thessalonica, or Thessaloniki. And it is from his first letter to that community. We're reading from chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We don't need to write to you about the timing and the dates, my siblings. You know very well that the day of the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. When they are saying there is peace and security, at that time, sudden destruction will attack them like labor pains starting with a pregnant woman, and they definitely won't escape. But you aren't in darkness, my siblings. So the day won't catch you by surprise like a thief. All of you are children of light and children of the day. We don't belong to night. So then, let's not sleep like the others, but let's stay awake and stay sober. People who sleep, sleep at night, and people who get drunk at night. Since we belong to the day, let's stay sober, wearing faithfulness and love as a piece of armor that protects our body, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. God didn't intend for us to suffer wrath, but rather to possess salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will live together with him. So continue encouraging each other and building each other up, just like you are doing already. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me, fall afresh on us. I pray, O God, that you would speak through me, that you would fill me with hope even as I preach, and that you would speak in spite of me, and that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be to your glory, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we begin today, our first Sunday in Advent, with the word hope. We light the candle of hope on our Advent wreath. We read scripture and we're invited to pay attention to how hope is working in scripture. We sing songs of hope. Hope. But what is hope? What is Advent hope? What is the character of Christian hope? What do we hope for? And what threatens our hope? Hope is a word, I think, a little bit like the words faith and love. They are deep and multi-layered in meaning, but they are also overused. And so we don't really, it's hard to figure out what they mean or to kind of like get at what they mean. Like, it's kind of like the same with love. I think it's a little bit easier to digest when we use the example of love. Like we say, I love chocolate, or I love my sibling. We could say those two things in one sentence, and yet we know that the love we have for our sibling is very different than the love that we have for chocolate. In fact, they can be two very different things. And I think in a similar way, it's like that with hope. We say, I'm hopeful about this or that, but maybe our hope is more like an optimism or just looking on the bright side of things, or kind of a positivity rather than hope. They don't necessarily, I think we use hope and optimism sometimes interchangeably, but they don't necessarily mean the same thing. Optimism is, I think, more of a golden virtue in American culture than hope is. And it's different from hope. The Reverend Peter Gomes says that optimism requires some looking away from the horrors of reality, and is even has a little bit of self-deception involved. Being optimistic is about banking on things going well and in your favor, generally speaking. But the Reverend Peter Gomes says, for Black folks, our bitter experience of the past, he says, has taught us to expect little of the present and even less of the future. So we have substituted a shallow optimism for a deep hope. And so you can already begin to see, just in Gomes' definition or comparison to optimistic or being optimistic, that the way hope is something much more radical, something deeper, something that almost requires a childlike imagination and a kind of courage to live into. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians that we must stay sober in these days that we're in. Stay awake, stay sober, Paul says. And you can see right there that hope, as Paul is getting at the word hope, it means to see things as they are. Let's be real about the current reality. Let's not become numb to what we're going through, but let's stay sober. Let's look at what's really happening and be awake. And so it's almost about this moving into hope is about almost being able then to see the kind of impossible possibilities of God's future coming to us and stepping into that future with God's help. Hope requires imagination of what could be because God, and living into that future because God. So when we speak of Advent hope or Christian hope, we're not speaking of optimism. Advent hope is actually quite peculiar. Advent comes from the Latin Adventus Christi, which means the coming of Christ. And in the coming of Christ, we're actually not looking at the coming of Christ as in the first coming when he came as a baby, even though that's kind of what all we're moving towards that. And yet the coming of Christ was actually for early Christians in the time of Advent is not about the baby. It's about the second coming of Christ. The coming of Christ out of the future into the present. So Advent is actually not about the first coming of Christ, as we tell the story of Jesus coming and being born in poverty in Bethlehem to Mary and Joseph, but Advent as the second coming of Jesus, who is coming again, we say, as Christians, in glory to reign and to establish justice in full. We look back to the stories of Christmas in order to look forward to what has not yet come to pass. And we await in Advent the coming of the Lord, not as a baby, but as the fruition of God's divine plan. But let me be clear that the second coming of Christ is not some kind of apocalyptic fantasy where God comes in the final day in wrath and judgment and the few nice good people get snatched up to heaven while a whole bunch of other people get thrown into hell and the earth is on fire and everything's awful. That makes for a good movie, maybe. Makes for a horrible movie, probably. Anyway, there's movies about that you can watch. Makes for some good stories, some novels you can tell. But that is actually not biblical and it's not Christian. That is not the kind of second coming of Christ that the early Christians and in scripture imagined. It's actually about the second coming is actually about Jesus coming, God reigning again in full, and the beginning of a new creation right here on earth. And it seems only the poets can really get at some of this future vision, which is why the Bible is so full of poetry. And Isaiah, the poet prophet, sees and tries to articulate this in his poem that we heard Anna read this morning, where a wolf will lie down with a lamb, the leopard will lie with a young goat, the calf and the lion will feed together. A nursing child will play over a snake's home and not get hurt. The day where justice will finally be for the poor and those who suffer most in the land. A day where no one will harm or destroy on God's holy mountain anymore. It's this kind of impossible possibility that takes imagination and courage to look at God's future and say, that's what's true. This is the future that is promised and is coming to us now. And early Christians like Paul stood on the hope of these poets like Isaiah, his ancestors in the faith, looking back in order to look forward. At a common prayer at the Lord's table is Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And we say, and come again, he will. It's this kind of expectation that Jesus is going to come again, is coming to us. And even though death is real and suffering is real, Advent hope rests in this unbelievable claim that so is the resurrection, life when we thought no life, a future reign of justice when we thought all possibilities were lost to us. And the thing about this kind of hope is that it does something for us, to us. Far from becoming escapists from the world, because of hope, we become more dedicated to changing the world, not escaping it, but changing it. Hope in God's future shapes our present work. The future hope of salvation guides our present work of salvation. Okay, I've said a lot now about the second coming, Jesus is coming again, all this stuff, theology, justice will reign. But maybe you're thinking, like I would be thinking, like I've been thinking, this all sounds good, but I don't feel hope very strongly these days. Let me tell you, if that's where you are, then I'm right there with you too. And I think it's important then for us to take a few minutes to talk about the forces that threaten our hope. The forces that work against our hope. I actually think that in the same way we speak of practicing love in order for love to grow in us, we also need to speak of practicing hope in order for hope to grow in us and to pay attention to what threatens it, to find disciplines that will help us grow in hope. What threatens our hope? What threatens your hope? Sometimes I think, sure, the threat comes from outside, but often, maybe more often than not, the threat to hope comes from within us. I've been reading a little bit from Jürgen Moltmann, who's a German theologian. He's actually known as the theologian of hope. He speaks a lot about hope. And he, in his younger years, he was a prisoner of war in Germany during World War II. And he speaks of his experience there of suffering during that time, but as being a prisoner and first coming to know God as when he was a prisoner in his young years. And he talks about the mercy and kindness of some English and Scottish miners who were in charge of the prisoners when he was there. And he says that their mercy shamed him. It was so profound and impactful on his life. And it was through this suffering and even through being shamed by their kindness that he began to gather courage to live again. He discovered, he says, that in every end, a new beginning lies hidden. It will find you if you look for it. Don't lose heart. Moltmann then goes on to write about two forces that work against our courage to live again, to live into hope. One is arrogance. The other is despair. The arrogance part is the one that caught me a little by surprise, and maybe to you as well, but I think I know what he's getting at. Arrogance is about an inflated view of oneself and really of humanity in general. Arrogance is taking matters so much into your own hands, seeking to control the present and the future to such an extent that you really have no need for God. You don't have hope or trust in God because you know, or you take it all into your own hands. You don't hope for God because who needs God when humans can take care of it, when I can take care of it? We get obsessed with our own predictions of how the future is going to unfold. It will be 56 degrees, partly sunny, turning cold this evening at about 4:15. There's some slight fog, and then that's going to go into a little bit of a drizzle, getting down into the low 30s tonight. Our predictions, my prediction, I can control the future. Who needs God when I know the weather forecast? I know what's going to happen. I can make a prediction. I can predict the future. I know what's going to happen. Arrogance is ultimately about saying over and over again, I'll take care of it, when no, you maybe won't take care of it, nor should you. In order for hope to be hope, we learn to rely on a future that we cannot be in control of. It's about learning a radical trust in a power and a presence beyond ourselves. Arrogance can work against our hope. The other threat to our hope is one that I can easily identify with, and that is despair. This is very real for me, maybe it is for you too. Despair is simply a doubt that there can never be a fulfillment of what you hope for. There can never really be change. We've perhaps heard that quote before. It is not the evil which human beings do that condemn them, but it is rather the good that we fail to do. And this is where I think despair lives. It lives in the good that we fail to do. Because why try if there's no way really out of this mess? And so despair keeps us resigned to the status quo, and in fact is pretty dangerous because despair makes it possible for the current status quo, which is based on harmful behavior, to just kind of run its course. We just kind of give in to it. Despair means we settle and we don't agitate for change. Arrogance and despair, two forces that work against hope, believing we hold the future on our own and believing the future we hope for can actually never be. If you are a human being, then you will, I think, will know what these forces feel like, what it feels like to wrestle with that arrogance or that despair at different times in our lives. In fact, I think if I were to start logging my feelings of hopelessness, I've probably logged more than 5 times feelings of hopelessness in the last 24 hours. So this is a common thing. It's a common thing. And I think it's probably the reason why I feel a pull toward Advent this year, a longing for it, because I'm longing for hope. And I want to find ways to practice hope because I know it's deep, it's radical, and it is this thing that keeps us moving and keeps us leaning on God. And here in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, he gives us a very powerful image to work with. He says, don't just talk about hope. Don't just think about it. Wear it. Wear hope. Wear the hope of salvation like a helmet, he says. And if you think it's silly to wear a helmet of hope every day, think about what you do already every day when you put on your silly mask. We are all wearing masks every day. And if you think about it, we've gotten used to it now, but it looked pretty silly in the beginning. Now it doesn't look silly anymore. It's a strange thing we do. It makes us look funny, but it does work to protect us from the spread of disease. Why not wear the hope of salvation like a helmet? Why not take that image and put it on, wear it? Notice how Paul uses that kind of imagery when it comes to hope. Wearing a helmet means that there are forces that threaten our hope. So hope needs something strong like a helmet. Wear it, put it on every day in discipline-like fashion, and it will protect you from arrogance. It will protect you from despair. So here's what I want you to do in Advent. It's a call to myself. It's a call to all of us. Let's not be afraid to look silly. Maybe in childlike fashion, you and I pretend every day that we're going to get up, get dressed, put on a helmet that is the hope of salvation, the hope of liberation. The hope of the coming of Jesus, that is the coming of justice and love, and is reaching into the present, right where we are, beckoning us to do our part. You've learned to wear a mask. You can learn to wear hope too. And I want you to think about what it means for you to wear hope. What does it mean to put it on? Maybe it's a prayer that you repeat to yourself throughout the day. Maybe you actually go through the motions in the morning where you put it on. And that's how you wake up. You put on your helmet of hope. Maybe you read scripture and stories about people who embody hope and learn from them. Maybe you log and write down your feelings of despair as they arise, your feelings of arrogance as they arise, and make a practice of lifting them up to God through your writing and prayers. Give them to God. Ask God to replace your despair with hope, to replace your arrogance with hope. Look for hope in Advent. Seek it, you will find it. Pay attention to it, study it, put it on, try it on. Let's practice putting on hope in Advent. Amen.
Take me as I am, summon out what I shall be, set your seal upon my heart and live in me. Take, oh, take me as I am, summon out what I shall be.
I put on my helmet of hope. We are not alone. Let us be of courage. Let us practice hope. We are the work of God's hands, and God continues to shape us each day into people of goodness and peace. That is why we bring gifts this morning, to be a part of creating a more beautiful world through the ministry of this church and the witnessing of our lives. Let us gather our gifts together. Feel free to give electronically. You can text any amount to 84321 or visit tabunited.org/contribute. Please be sure to select the appropriate fund when making a gift online. Give as you can.
So God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna live so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna work so God can use me anywhere. God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna pray so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime. I'm gonna pray so God can use me anywhere. To sing so God can use me anywhere, Lord, anytime, anywhere, Lord, anytime. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here.
Holy One, this Advent season, we wait in hope and we give in hope. Hope for your coming rain. Hope because your presence is with us even now. Receive these generous offerings and use them for your work of healing and hope in our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you are, if you have made an Advent wreath at home or have a candle that you can light, that to remind you of hope as we, you can do that right now. I'm going to do it here and you can see hopefully this wreath here. So if you don't have a candle at home, that's okay. I'm going to light this candle now as we do our candle lighting liturgy. And as we do that, it is another way I think that we can practice the discipline of remembering hope and what it means, how it can live in us, and even to reflect on the things that work against hope in our life. And so lighting this candle reminds us of hope, and we're remembering hope and all of the things that work against it, but also the power of it. So I invite you now, as we light this first candle of Advent, to say the words of the people. Anna will be reading those words as a prayer. And let us do that now. We light the first candle of Advent, the candle of hope.
Though despair likes to keep watch, we will, in defiance of it, ground ourselves in the hopeful poetry of the prophets and in God's reign yet to come. O God, may the light of hope burn here in our home and burn strong in us.
We will keep the fire of the light of hope burning as we bring forward our prayers. This is a time in our service that we lift up the prayers on our hearts. You are welcome to bring your joy, your struggle, any other prayer concerns you have before God and our community. And we will share in your joy, and we will also share in your grief and in your struggle, and be with you in that time and lift up these prayers to God. So if you have a prayer that you'd like to share, and if you're new, you're just a word to you that you are welcome to participate now if you want to share in the chat the prayers of our hearts. So we will give just a moment for those prayers to come in. You can share them right now, and then Lucinda is going to read them as they come through. So let us take a moment just here in silence as we lift up our prayers and share them through the chat.
From Priscilla, prayers for my niece who has COVID in her home. God of mercy, hear our prayers. We God, I pray that you would strengthen the prophets for the work that you have called them to do. May we hear their words. May we hear their hope in all the forms that it comes. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Buki, please pray for healing for my dad and peace for him and our family during this time of fear and hope. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Anna, prayers of joy for my niece, Ariana, who is turning 8 years old, who turned 8 years old yesterday. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Megan Gibson, prayers for my cousin April, who was recently diagnosed with COVID, and for rest of her immediate family. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Jennifer, for my sister Laura, who will have surgery on her elbow next week. May God be with her and her surgical team. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Laura, for upcoming surgery on my elbow on this coming Friday and for full recovery. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Vic, encourage that Brother Steve in Denver is, it seems, recovering well in the hospital from COVID. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Emmett, prayers of thanksgiving for the hope that this community provides. You all have been a light in my life. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers. From Susan Wargo, prayers for the Thompson family as they continue to fight to regain their freedom. They live their lives as a beacon of hope indeed. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
Thanksgiving to all who shared your prayers in this way. Let us continue now to lift up our prayers and lift up our hearts to God. Oh God, we thank you for the power of hope and for your gift of hope. We ask, oh God, that in this time where we feel that hope threatened and struggle to continue. There is a lot of despair and a lot of arrogance and a lot that is surrounding us and in us that fights against hope. But you, O God, have promised to be with us and you strengthen us sometimes beyond even that which we can imagine to keep going. So we ask that you would continue to be with us and strengthen us in this time and in this Advent season, which is a difficult season for so many. We pray that you would come into our places of loneliness and fear and isolation. We pray that you would come into the places where we need healing, mental or spiritual or physical healing. Come to us. God, we pray that you would come and bring your justice and freedom. We pray that for the Thompson family. We pray that for so many who are seeking liberation and working toward liberation and freedom Oh God, would you come and break open, break down those chains, break apart the chains that hold us and set your people free. God, we ask all these things. We ask also as we lift up the prayers that are silent, perhaps we couldn't find words to express them, but you hear our silent prayers too. And so we lift them up to you. And we thank you for Jesus, our friend, our liberator, our savior, who came and is still coming and who taught us to pray. And so would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? There's a version in front of you on your screen, or you can pray whatever version you learned by heart. Our parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
At TAB during Advent, we often sit with this Navajo prayer. Before me is peace, behind me is peace, below me is peace, above me is peace. And I invite you to sing this new song and learn it as we sing it. I think you'll learn it quickly. If you would like to do the motions that we often do, you can look to Anna, who will help us with the motions as we go through this song. Let's sing together. Before me is peace, behind me is peace, below me is peace, above me is peace, around me is peace, within before me is love, before me is love, behind me is love, below me is love, above me is love, around me is love, within before me is hope, before me is hope, behind me is hope, below me is hope, above me is hope, around me is hope, within me is hope, around within me is hope.
Friends, as you go today, go about your work and all that is in front of you to do, I invite you now to hear these words of blessing as you go. May the God of hope surround you and gift you with the helmet of the hope of salvation. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in God, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace to serve God, your neighbor, and the earth. Amen.